of wisdom going around the room. Maybe if you're online and you didn't get to share your piece of wisdom, you can drop it in the chat and I can read that later and get a little bit smarter. That might be helpful, but I think we'll get into things this morning. As Michelle mentioned, we are starting a new series, Wisdom on Shuffle, out of the book of Proverbs. And if you were here last week, you might have learned for the first time, or you might have already known this, but Proverbs has how many books? Sorry, books, chapters? 31, Michelle said. How many days are there in January? 31. So you could actually read a chapter a day during January. That's what you've been doing. That's what I've also been doing. YouVersion actually has a good little 31 days of Proverbs plan just to make it easier so you don't lose where you're up to. But the good news is if you haven't started yet, you've only got 7 days to catch up on. So that's not too bad. I find 7 days, you can knock that back pretty quick. But this week we are starting this series. And I love this idea of going to the Bible for wisdom, because when you think about it, in our world, there is more information than ever before. We thought we'd go a wisdom hack here as a family. My son, he's not in here, good. He asks a lot of questions. Like, anyone else have kids that ask a lot of questions? Like, I'm talking like a lot of questions. Like, we'll go on a car ride. We went on a car ride yesterday and I'm like, oh man, I'm like questioned out. And we only drove from like 15 minutes down the road. So we thought, this guy asks a lot of questions. What I often find myself doing, because he's quite intelligent, I think he got his mother's genes, where he loves to get his questions from, I often have to Google the answers to what he's asking me. I'm like, I don't know that, but I pretend like I do, and then I Google it. So we thought, rather than us asking Google all the time, we'd buy him a Google Nest. For those of you who don't know what that is, you can look it up. But basically, we restricted it in such a way that really all it can do is he can ask it questions. So, you know, like, hey, Google, you know, how many planets are there? And it'll spit it out and tell him, which is great. And so, you know, we're trying to increase his wisdom. The problem is with the Google Nest, he keeps coming back and going, it's not giving me the answer. And what I've learned very quickly about Google Nest is that you still have to know how to use it to get the right information and interpret it. So we went to the movies the other day and there was a scene of something in Jamaica. And so he suddenly wanted to know, how much does it cost to get to Jamaica? I'm like, let me tell you, son, our next family holiday is not going to be Jamaica. And so then he comes back, he's like, it's not answering me. And I'm like, you've got to ask it the right question. So we go and we ask it the right question and it spits it out. And then he's like, I wonder how much it costs to stay in Jamaica. I'm like, ask it. And so he asks, like, how much is a hotel in Jamaica? And then it just brings up all these hotels. He's like, there's no prices. I'm like, I'm out. Like, I bought you this thing so that I don't have to answer your questions. And now I'm like, hey, Google, like trying to figure it out. But the reality is we live in a world that is more connected than ever before, has more information than ever before. Yet still, we've got more people in life who feel disconnected, isolated, chasing comfort, chasing the answers to life than ever before. And so just because there's information out there doesn't always mean it's good. You know, I was preparing for this, even last night, as I've been thinking about wisdom and reading, my other child, she loves ABC Kids, and so she's watching ABC Kids, and my favourite cartoon on ABC Kids comes up, and it's not Bluey, sorry to disappoint, but it's Hey Dougie. Has anyone seen Hey Dougie before? The nods are coming out. I love Hey Dougie. Anyway, for those of you who haven't seen Hey Dougie, it's like Scouts, but cartoon version, and the Scout leader's a dog. It's pretty out there. But anyway, they were going for their wisdom badge yesterday. I was like, all right, what does Hey Dougie say about wisdom? Let's get the notes out. Anyway, the 7 minutes didn't solve my dilemma to what wisdom is. But even little kids are watching shows about life experience and wisdom and answers to questions. And the reality is if we're not careful and we don't look in the right spot, we can end up with the wrong information and we can interpret it the wrong way. And it becomes unhelpful to us, doesn't it? You know, more people today, if you look around on the internet, it is not that hard to get scammed anymore. Like, I look at scams and go, how do people get scammed? And then suddenly I'm like, what, you need my credit card details to deliver my package? Sure. You know what I mean? The reality is there is so much out there that can lead us astray. But the reality is we have this great thing in the word in front of us in the sense of the Word of God that is just full of information. And the book of Proverbs, even more, is just so much full of wisdom on how to live life and live it well and timeless principles. What I love about the Bible is these timeless principles. They're not just for when they were written. They're not old. You know, I used to think Proverbs when I was little, it was like, oh, the book of Proverbs, man, it's just like old sayings, you know, like once upon a time, this was smart. But the reality is, the more you read through this, the more you realize as you apply the wisdom of what is in the Bible to life, how much it orders our steps in the direction that we would want it to go. And so the reason why we've kind of called this on shuffle a little bit is because you're going to hear over the next few weeks different proverbs that speakers are going to pick out, but they're not necessarily going to be in the order that you might read them. But my hope is that as each week we dig into a chunk of wisdom, that we would leave here a little bit more dialed in and clued into the plans that God has and the way he wants to live our lives. That he would take these words that were written all that time ago and we would read it with a new lens and go, wow, how does this change my life? And that as God's people, we would build a firm foundation, even that we've been singing about, based on the truths that God has for us, that will help us navigate not only just the direction of life, but all the other information that's out there as well. And that as we apply this godly wisdom to our life, that we will grow in the things of him. And so I thought this morning it would be good. I was even doing my Bible 365 this week, and Proverbs 1 was in there. Anyone who's traveling with that, you know, you often get the first of everything, the first of Matthew, the first of Proverbs, the first of Psalms. It's like the first of the first on the first Sunday of the new year. I thought it'd be great to just start at the beginning and open up these verses and kind of see what it would say to us. And so these opening verses here, Proverbs, they'll be on the screens. 1-6 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, like me, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. You know, Solomon sets this up with basically just being, this is what the book's about. This is the aim of Proverbs. This is what, reading this, is the aim of what it's to do. It's to give guidance. It's to bring wisdom. It's to help us navigate. You know, basically, if, you know, you're a student like I was a student, that's like reading the back cover of the book. Anyone ever do a book report where you just like read the back of the book and be like, I got what it's about. Now I'm going to submit my essay. I remember people are laughing like they never did that. Remember being probably close to 30 when I started doing some full-time, like proper study, not like your, you know, high school certificates or whatever, but actually started a bachelor and I did my first assignment and it actually could have been a book report. I can't remember what it was, but I applied that kind of behavior to my learning. Like I'll just read the absolute minimum and submit the essay. And the guy replied with, the lecturer replied with, thanks for submitting this assignment, Ryan. You have passed today, but I need you to know that this is not your best work. To which I replied, this is my only work. Like I didn't finish school. This is the first like essay I've ever written. And he's like, you're fast going to learn that that is not your best work. And the more that you apply yourself to reading and learning, the better your work's going to get. The more you dig into what you're studying, the better your work is going to get. So he doubled down, like, this is not your best work. Then when I submitted my second piece of work, I did a bit more. And he was like, see, this is much better than the last lot. I was right. And the more I was able to apply myself and dig in and learn, the more I was able to get out of what I was trying to study and learn. And quickly, I left behind my, if I don't hand this in, I don't pass high school attitude to, I actually want to learn about this stuff. And so I committed to going, you know what, I want to just apply myself to, even if I don't get the highest grades. And whatever time I have for an essay or a report or an assignment or the outworking of what I'm reading, that's fine. But I want to make sure that I read absolutely everything that's available to me that's given. And so when I sign off and say, have I done my reading? I didn't just read the back cover, but I read the book. Now, sometimes I didn't always get to the end of the book, but my aim was to just get as much out of it as I could so that there was a decent foundation for what I was writing. And so you can read these verses and you can clearly see and articulate what the book is trying to get at. It's trying to set us up. It's trying to set the reader up to be able to discern and have wisdom and direction and purpose and all of these things, to know what is just and fair. Isn't it helpful in the world we live in today to know what is just and fair, to have discernment and discretion, to be able to understand wisdom. And that's what this book is trying to get at. But there's always a little bit of a but, right? So the first little portion of this that's written actually comes in 7 verses. So it gives us the 6 of what this is all about and what the aim of the book is to do and the back cover, if you will. But then when you open it up, verse 7 says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." What we're getting at here is that there is a little bit more to it than just being able to read wise sayings and not. But actually, going to the beginning of all of this is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so if we want to be able to interpret these scriptures and this wisdom that's given to us and play it out in our life and see it lead us in a good direction, there's something we need to do from the very beginning, and that is to fear the Lord. And that can kind of come across a couple of different ways, can't it? When you hear the word fear. You know, last night I was convinced there was someone in my backyard because I could hear some noises. And I went out and there was someone in my backyard, but it was a cat. So I was not very happy with said cat as I was chasing him out. But instantly I'm like, there's someone in my yard. And it prompts a little bit of like, hang on. I'm a bit scared of the dark here. I'm going to turn on every light. I'm going to go out and it was a cat. But that thought of fear sometimes can make us go, I fear God because I'm scared of consequence. I got a little bit of an image there, Rod, if you could pull this up. This is, if anything else, this is just me. Is this anyone else? You're driving along the road, minding your own business, doing the speed limit. You might even have cruise control on, but then suddenly behind you, you see a police car in the background. And instantly, I'm starting to think about how I'm going to jail. I'm going to lose my license. This is going to happen. And then I instantly look at the speed. I'm like, what am I panicking for? I'm like, I'm doing the speed limit. There's this fear that's instantly in me. You're like, am I doing something wrong? Like, I remember driving up one of the road a little while ago, and there's a police car behind me. I don't know how long they were there for, because I was pretty, like, tuned into, like, what I was doing. But their lights are, like, flashing, and I'm like, oh, man, all right, here we go. I must have been speeding. Pull over. They just wanted me to get out of the way. Like, they were onto something else. But instantly, I'm like, oh, how big is this fine going to be? Like, immediately, I'm, like, scared of the consequences. That is not what fearing the Lord means. We do not serve a God who is like, if you don't just do the black and white here and you don't get it all right and you get it perfect, you need to fear me because of the consequences that might come your way. It's not to say that in life there isn't consequences when we don't do certain things. Or there aren't consequences for our choices that we make and our actions. But the Bible isn't saying fear the Lord because they want us to be scared of God. To paint the police in a slightly better light, I'm sorry to any police officers out there. But I don't know if you've ever been in a place, maybe in the city or at a sporting event or somewhere where it feels like things are like a little bit unhinged, like something could go wrong here, like the crowd might be a little bit dicey, and then suddenly you see some fluoro vests walking through the crowd and you're like, is this security? And then you're like, you can see it's police. I don't tend to feel too scared in those scenarios. I'm like, oh, it's the police, quick. Like, I'm not that dicey. Maybe I just down with my driving. But there's a reality of when you see a police officer in that space, you start to feel a bit safer. Maybe you feel like if something was about to become out of control, maybe now it might lean into control. You know, the Bible doesn't call us to be scared of God. If we're scared of God, then maybe we'll apply the wisdom because we're fearful of what might happen. That's never the recipe for leading a life that God might have us live. But fear of the Lord in this scenario is talking about a reverence to God. It's talking about living with a reverence that puts him kind of in a position of, and I'll use these words, like a position of trust, where you feel safe with God, you trust God, you trust what you're reading, you trust what's there because you know him and you trust him. That you're willing to be obedient to him. That when we read scripture or we're praying or we feel led in certain directions by God, that there would be obedience because we trust him, we know him. There's almost this worship about who he is. That we live that life of worship and service to him. And that we put him in that number one position. That is the fear of the Lord. The reverence of God. Knowing that he is God. And it says that this fear of the Lord is the beginning. The actual beginning of wisdom. You know, the word beginning in these few verses literally translates to the start. The start of wisdom. comes from the fear, the reverence, the worship, the trust, the obedience of God. And that He would be our number one. The reverence and the fear of God is what causes us to shift the perspective of which we read and see things and live our lives. You know, often the only thing that can really make us different to anybody else out in the street that doesn't know God is not that we read this Bible and so suddenly we can be smarter than everybody else. It actually comes down to the lens that we see our life through. We actually see it through this foundation of God first, everything else second. That from the very start, it's about God. You know, I don't know if anyone here is into life hacks. You know, maybe you see something and you're like, you know, the saying that goes like, I was this many days old when I discovered. I'll give us a quick example of why this would be helpful. Rod, if you could help me out here. I was today years old when I found out that this is the reason why you don't park in front of fire hydrants. And so you can see in America, you know, in Australia, we got the little H. So just a quick tip for you, if you don't know, the little H on the road, that represents fire hydrant. The reason why you don't park over the H is because if there's an actual fire, this is what will happen to your vehicle. Now this didn't happen to me, but I actually for ages didn't know what the little H on the side of the road was. I was like quite happy, H for happy, happy to take the parking spot on the side of the road until someone was like, hey, there's ever a fire. I'm like, what are the odds of that? You know, like what were the odds of there being? But the reality is if you don't know what the hydrant's for, or you don't know what the H means, you're going to happily park in front of it. Ignorantly bliss until there's a fire and then both your windows get smashed for a hose to go through it. You know, a bit of novelty to that. But there is this reality in life that when we see things the right way, when we learn something for the first time, it changes the way we look at things. I always see that little H on the road now and go, don't park there. Why? Because you can see what might happen. When we actually put God in His rightful place, fear God, obey, trust, worship, live that life where He is the foundation. He is first. It changes the way we look at everything else. And so we can read all this wisdom. You can gain whatever wisdom you want. You can read the Word of God. But if God is not first in your life, you're not going to interpret it the right way. You're always going to be swayed by whatever is first. So if money is first in your life, if get rich and die trying is your life motto, what are you going to put first at all times? Money. It's going to be the priority for your life. If comfort is your number one priority, what's going to come first? Comfort. You know, I find it much easier. I'll just have a quick confession. It's the first Sunday of the year, so I'll just get it all out now and you can judge me later. But I can find it way easier to scroll on social media. Pick your platform, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. And if you timed me on how long it would take me to get through my Bible 365 in the morning, I could triple that just scrolling away. You know, my Bible doesn't ask me, are you still reading? Like, are you still there? Why? Because I'm not there long enough. But Netflix will ask me that all the time. Are you still watching? How rude. Yes, I am still watching. How dare you interrupt that plot point? Bible 365 is not like, hey, Ryan, are you still there? You must be an elite reader. You're going to get through the whole Bible if you keep going at this rate. Never does that happen. Why? Because comfort is so much easier to put first. The things that are easy, the things that are comfortable, the things that sometimes can be pleasant, that really don't add too much. Show I was watching on Netflix last night, it's not adding too much to my life. But what I read in the Word of God, what I'm reading in Proverbs over 31 days is actually adding wisdom to my life. Some thriller documentary might entertain me for a little while, but it's not going to build wisdom into my life. I mean, sport docos, they help a little bit maybe, but the reality is, can sit and watch test cricket for days. I know there's many of you who have been doing that. No matter how boring it seems to get, I will still sit there and stare at it. Because I am a creature of comfort at my core. And I will lean to that if I'm not careful about what is at number one. And if I don't fight to keep God at number one, everything will shift to what the world allows me to gravitate to. And if we want to live a life in its fullest, the way the scriptures are talking about it at the beginning of Proverbs, knowing how to navigate through this life, we will never do it unless the fear of the Lord is the number one thing in our world. You know, Proverbs, I love this little thing here. It says, Proverbs assumes that you cannot make sense of the world or live a full and successful life unless you see God behind it and involved in it and seek understanding of it from God with reverence and humility. Reverence and humility, seeking God, understanding that He is in and behind and through all things and allowing Him to bring things to light. That is the essence of what we're talking about. You know, if you scroll a little bit further through the Bible, you get to Proverbs 9, verse 10 to 12, and it reiterates the point, and it says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. It doubles down on this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, here, wisdom, they kind of, the beginning part is translated to prerequisite. You know, like if you go for a, if you're looking on Seek for a job, I don't do this very often, but you know, sometimes you might be, that's a pretty cool job, you know, maybe that's going to be, no. But it's like, hey, here's all the things that would be nice if you had them. But then here's the things you have to have. If you don't have this bachelor of this or that or 25 years experience, don't apply for the job. You know, what it's saying here is that the prerequisite for understanding wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That He is at number one. It's not optional. It's not, yeah, it's nice if you could. It's the prerequisite for understanding wisdom is that God would be at number one. And then I love what it goes on to talk about. You know, your days will be many, years will be added to your life. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. That there is a reward to all of this. Author Joyce Meyer, she puts it this way, is wisdom is choosing to do now what you will be happy with later. Choosing to do now what you will be happy with later. I don't know how many people out there have binged Netflix and then been really happy about it the next day. Like woke up and went, you know what, I'm so glad that I spent 8 hours last night watching TV. Like I feel fulfilled. You know what, when I went out to that restaurant last night and I ate way too much, that was awesome. Like going home and just feeling sick, like that felt so good. I'm so glad I did that. When I wasted all my money on this thing, man, I'm so happy I wasted all my money on that. Like, yes, can't wait to do it all again. No. The reward of wisdom is looking back at the decisions that we made and going, I'm glad I did that. The reward, I believe, for our wisdom is that we would get to look back over our life and see a series of choices we made in following God, putting Him first, trust, obey, creating the space and the room for Him to move in our lives that we'd go, I'm so glad I chose to live my life out like that. Did I get it all right every time? No. Was it perfect? No. But I did the very best I could to navigate the life I had by applying the wisdom of Scripture, but with the understanding of the Holy One to bring it to life and the putting Him first to live it out. The message today is pretty simple. As we start this series off at looking again, wisdom and gain knowledge and gain discernment and gain all these things that are written in this text. My question to you is this, is God your number one? And not up here going, yeah, I know that's the right answer, so I would say yes. But if you did an audit of your habits, if you did an audit of your time, if you did an audit of what actually is most important to you, do those things show and display a fear of the Lord? Or do they show something else? Because if I'm honest in my life, I would say, yeah, I fear the Lord. Like, God is my number one. But then from time to time, as I go through and do an audit about where I've spent that time, or I've spent that money, or what I've engaged with throughout the course of a week, those things might tell me something else. You know, last week we did those. For those of you who were here, we had those little habit trackers down to start the year well. I don't know how many of you like dug into that or did that. But the reality is that piece of paper could tell you a lot about where you're at with where God is, whether he's number one, number two, number three. But I guarantee you something for all of us, if we started this year going, you know what, I'm going to prioritize with everything I have, putting God at number one and seeking him with the best of all that I have, seeking him to understand, not just scripture, but understand life and the direction that I'm going in and what he wants for me. I reckon we would get to this time next year and go, I see some reward for the decisions that I made. I am happy with the choices that I made that have gotten me to this point. You know, it's not always, you know, we even sang that song, it's not always about smooth sailing. This is not the ticket to having a happy life. It's not the ticket to having the perfect life. And if that's your number one, you're always going to gravitate to whatever it is that might give you that at the time. But to live a life of wisdom, which leads to being happy with the decisions that we made, it's about putting him first. And a conscious decision to go, whenever there's a choice between God and something else, I'm going to choose God first. Now, please hear me. I'm not telling you to get rid of Netflix. I'm not telling you to get rid of your phone. I'm not telling, like, that's on you if you want to do that. I'm going to tell you how to audit your bank account, how to spend. It's not about that. Those things are all okay when they're not number one. But if comfort is number one, if money is number one, if security is number one, you're always going to be blown in the breeze. But when God is at number one, it tells us that's the key to having the life that we're set out to have. A life full of wisdom, discernment, knowing what is right, what is wrong, and how to live out our days. We've got to put him at number one. And so I'd love to simply pray for us. The team are going to come out and lead us in a song. And I love this song called Make Room. And it really is just about making room for God, making room for his presence. And as we think about those words and doing that, that's something that we should be doing each and every day. But we're going to have a moment together today to be able to create some room for the Spirit of God to move. And so as we pray, my encouragement for you is this, just to take an order of your life right now as you see it. No one's here to judge you. No one's going to ask you to come and tell your secrets. But thinking about where you put your time, your talent, your treasure, your effort, what's at number one in your life? What is it that's navigating the pool of your life? What lens is it that you're looking through? And I dare say for some of us here and myself included, there could be a lot more room for God to be at number one. That maybe in my heart of hearts, I know that that's what I want for my life, is that he would be number one. But maybe at times I've allowed some other things to creep in there and take control of that. Now's a great time between you and God in your heart of hearts. Okay, at the beginning of this year, I want to commit to having you at number one. I want my actions and decisions to represent a great trust and obedience in following you. And that the things would follow, the actions that would follow, the decisions that would follow, you would look back at the end of this year and go, I'm so glad with those decisions that I made. I can see the progress that God is making in my life in forming me into who he wants me to be. And decision by decision, that step by step, we would be a little bit more in tune with him. Does that sound good to anyone this morning? Maybe we could stand together. Love to pray for us. The team are going to lead us. And I'd encourage you with nothing else than to allow God to examine your heart in these moments. And I just ask you that question. Is there enough room in your life for him to be at number one? Or some space that you need to create? Priorities that need to shift to allow him to be that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. First of all, for the truth of your word. Lord, that it's not void, that it's not old, that it's not for a previous people, but it's alive and active today. And Lord, I pray for myself and each person here for a renewed fear of the Lord in our lives. not one that needs to be scared or worried or concerned about consequence, but Lord, knowing that you have our best interests in heart. And the key to interpreting this life starts with having you at number one. And so, Lord, for each of us, may we see the things that want to knock you out of that number one position, the things that want to make so much noise that we can't hear, the things that are going to fight for our attention and our priorities. Lord, may they become silent and you become loud. And Lord, may we get to the end of this year and look and go, there is a reward for the decisions that we have made in living a life that has you at number one. So Lord, may we learn to trust and obey you, to worship you with our time, our talent, our treasure. For you, this year to be our number one. It's in your name we pray. Amen.